right now.
To sing songs, it'll prove to you that this is your world, and that if it's hit you pretty hard and knocked you down for a dozen loops, no matter how hard it's run you down and rolled over you, no matter what color, what size you are, how you're built, I am out to sing the songs that'll make you take pride in yourself.
I'm Lori Sonnenfeld.
And I'm Don Jacobson.
Together we bring you Moving On, Fridays from 12 noon to 1:30.
We feature both traditional and contemporary folk music.
We love to present live in-studio concerts from local and national musicians.
Tune in and you'll hear music that is socially progressive, moving, and heartfelt.
Music heard only on the left-hand edge of the dial and only on KBOO.
Every Friday, noon to 1:30.
We who believe in freedom cannot
Years since the Great Recession of 2008, Oregon still hasn't recovered. As of August, the Bureau of Labor Statistics listed Oregon's unemployment rate at 7.2%. This doesn't include workers who are in and out of the labor market, those who can't find enough hours at work, or those who have stopped looking for work altogether. But in Portland, tech companies report a different problem. They can't find enough talent to fill all the open positions. This is one reason why, this past August, at TechFest Northwest, they decided to hold their first talent fair. Here's TechFest Northwest organizer Lizzie Caston.
We heard loud and clear from companies. We heard this. We need to hire talent. We need to hire developers. We need to hire project managers. We need to hire designers. We need to make connections. So we need a place where people can network about jobs. People looking for jobs, people that are hiring.
Attending this year's talent fair were representatives from companies such as Puppet Labs, Nike, JAMA Software, and Urban Airship. Also in attendance were a number of schools and training programs. OHSU, for example, offers a program in what's called biomedical informatics.
So biomedical informatics at OHSU is about healthcare and information technology. So there are people who have the IT backgrounds that could really get jobs, but we're here promoting our educational program. So we're helping to train the people with the computer science backgrounds or the tech backgrounds to work in the healthcare field.
Also attending the talent fair were a number of schools that offered intensive boot camp programs to teach prospective developers how to code. I asked Sherry Dover, director of the Portland Code Guild, why there's such a talent gap in the industry.
Because the tech industry is booming. It is the most growing industry in the United States, probably in the world.
Why did you decide to start the Portland Code Guild?
I'm a longtime organizer for Portland Startup Weekend, and I noticed that a lot of people in the community were really worried about how they were going to get talent. A friend at one of the big companies was really threatened by other companies that were offering perks like every Friday off, and they didn't know how they were going to compete. But one of my friends, who knows me as more of an entrepreneur, asked me to help him start a boot camp, and so I did.
How is a boot camp different than, say, studying computer science at a university?
The universities don't have a model that trains people, that teaches them how to code. They learn a lot of theory, but they graduate actually not knowing how to code. A 3-month, 6-month boot camp is really a great way for people to get started and actually know how to code.
While college tuition has been steadily rising, wages in Oregon remain low. About 20% of Oregon jobs have an average wage of less than $10 an hour, according to Oregon Blue Book. Another 25% pay between $10 and $15 an hour. In other words, almost half of all available jobs in Oregon pay $15 or less an hour. Compare this to an entry-level computer programmer, who starts at $36 an hour, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Developer Andrew Berkowitz put it this way, quote, "There's a new gold rush, and the pickaxes are free." By free, he's referring to a number of low-cost or free online resources to teach people how to code. For example, Treehouse. Based in Portland, Treehouse offers self-paced online videos and interactive tutorials designed to help anyone learn how to program. In a recent article in Oregon Business Magazine, Clint Finley interviewed Treehouse founder Ryan Carson, who said his aim was to revolutionize higher education by providing everything students need to land a job in the tech industry. Quote, "We're trying to remove the need to go to college," end quote. Patrick Curtin, community manager of Idealist, was also in attendance at this year's talent fair. He echoes this sentiment.
Software is one of the few places left that is a true, pure meritocracy. There's groups directed towards women in code. There's everything you can think of to learn this. If you're capable, tell your people. If you can do it, we don't care how you learned it. We don't care about college. We don't care about what you did. Just show us that you can do it, and you'll get hired by these companies.
Provided, of course, that you can learn computer coding. I asked Sherry Dover, director of the Portland Code Guild, what skills or aptitudes people might need to be able to learn how to code.
They definitely need to have some basic computer skills, problem-solving skills. Can they see a problem? Do they have the skill of being able to see a problem, break it down into steps, and prioritize the steps?
In the same article where Andrew Berkowitz talks about computer coding being a kind of new gold rush, he also adds, quote, "Like learning any other skill, it takes time, discipline, and hard work. What it doesn't require is a commitment to 2 to 4 years of expensive schooling and then fighting in a limited job market. For someone self-motivated, smart, and committed, there has never been a more available way to kickstart a career." End quote. In the next part in this series, I will explore issues of access and new models of diversity in Portland's emerging tech industry. I'm Suzanne LeGrand for KBOO Community Radio.
Thanks for tuning in to KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM in Portland. I'm Sari Gametha, and this is an Election Day special. As a relatively recent transplant to the area, I find it fascinating that a couple of out-of-state celebrities have come this way to campaign heavily for our local politics, specifically Rick Steves and Jose Antonio Vargas, for Measures 91 and 88, respectively. Beginning with Rick Steves, he is a traveling TV host who this time spent 10 days in Oregon on his tour, which is called Travel as a Political Act, Ending Marijuana Prohibition in Oregon. I spoke with him by phone about Measure 91, which would, if passed, regulate, legalize, and tax marijuana. First, tell us why you feel so passionately about this issue.
Oh, I think this is so exciting that the United States can finally find a way to get out of the prohibition against marijuana. The people who are working to take the crime out of the equation here, we're not pro-marijuana, it's anti-prohibition, pro-recognition of civil liberties for responsible adults to enjoy marijuana in the privacy of their own home if they feel like it, and a chance to have the law really effectively protect children and young people and the rights of employers to have whatever standards they want in their workplace and safety on our roads. It's just a pragmatic harm reduction approach to a persistent problem, and our current wars against marijuana are just very expensive, very racist, and counterproductive.
In fact, that makes me think that I wondered first if your interest stemmed from someone you knew who needed relief, pain relief due to illness, or is this due to your passion related to our incarceration system? How did you develop this passion in this issue?
Well, there's a lot of reasons to be involved in drug policy reform, and people who have loved ones who have found great relief using marijuana medicinally have reason to have a personal interest in it that way. I get a lot of thank yous from people in the last 2 years since we've legalized marijuana in Washington thanking me for that. Personally, I'm in it because of the civil liberties, because of fiscal responsibility, because of respect for law enforcement to be able to redirect precious and limited law enforcement resources into violent crimes and not be running down, petty and nonviolent pot-smoking offenses. And because I come from a European perspective, I've spent a third of my adult life living out of a carry-on airplane-sized suitcase in Europe, talking to people who also have challenges in their societies with drug abuse. And they remind me that a society has to make a choice, tolerate alternative lifestyles or build more prisons. And they always remind me with an annoying little kicker that Americans lock up 10 times as many people per capita as Europeans do. Either we're inherently more criminal or there's something messed up about our laws. And I don't think we're inherently more criminal. I think we've just got ourselves some very misguided laws here. And just like courageous citizens and leaders worked our country out of the expensive and cost and non-productive prohibition against alcohol back in the 1930s, today leaders are helping us work our way out of the prohibition of our age, which is the criminalization of marijuana.
Right. That's a good perspective to have on it. So you are doing a 10-city tour in the state of Oregon that is called Travel as a Political Act, Ending Marijuana Prohibition in Oregon, mm-hmm. taking your travel expertise and applying it to this incredibly brave political act. From what I understand, the city of Portland seems to have a lot of support for ballot measure 91. How do you intend to gain support from communities outside of Portland? Because you are going to other small towns. I mean, you're going to Salem, you're also going to Medford and a number of other places.
Well, you know, it's, the main challenge for us is just to get people up to speed on just the context here and the practical reasons that Measure 91 is smart law. You can frame this in a conservative way. You can frame this in a progressive way. For me, it's just common sense. I think that Oregon, you know, arrests or cites 13,000 people a year for marijuana. These aren't rich white guys. These are poor people and people of color.